I want you to hear him gladly. He's God's man for this hour. He'll have something that'll help you this morning. So you listen while he preaches.
John's Gospel, chapter 19. And, of course, you know I'm going to say it's a privilege to be here. And it is. Thankful for a spot. And I'd rather hear probably plenty of you than be here, but I am humbled and grateful for this spot. But we love this place, and our home church, we love the people there. It seems like we're strangers all the time, but this is the place God's brought us. Someone asked me, what brought you to Taylorsville? And I said, the Lord. And I don't make decisions on my own. I just, what Brother James said, I snuggle up close, and when he leans, I follow. And I don't make decisions. It makes it easy on me. He just goes, and I follow the best I can. But I'm glad the Lord leaned this way. It was a big step for us, but I'm thankful that he leaned this way and got to meet many of you people. John's Gospel, chapter 19, appreciated the good message. All of it has helped me, and I have added value to my life from being here. Thank you, Brother Taylor. John's Gospel, chapter 19, verse 1, the Bible says, Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews. And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. And then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. When the chief priests therefore and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Take him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The Jews answered him, We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, Whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. And then Pilate, then saith Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and have power to release thee? And Jesus answered, Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. And therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover. And about the sixth hour, he saith unto the Jews, Behold your king. But they cried out, Away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priest answered, We have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. John is the picture drawer. He draws pictures with words. He tells us that Jesus is the Lamb of God, the light of the world. He is the living waters. I can relate to John because he's the picture drawer. And there is no picture drawn by John that tenders the heart of every individual that can see it clearly than the one here in chapter 19. John tells us that they scourged the Lord in verse 1. The cat of nine tails was laid upon the darling Son of God's back. And they tell us the soldiers had plaited that crown of thorns there on his head. There they placed the robe and began to mock God's first begotten. There John tells us they smote him with their hands. They smacked the perfect Lamb of God in the face. John says in verses 16 that they brought Jesus forth. They delivered him in verse 16. They delivered Jesus. He was delivered and yet ridiculed. Then in verse 16, John tells us that they led him away. They wanted to rid themselves of this man. Refused, revolted, reviled, they took him away. But it's in verse 17 that John makes this statement. It says there that he, bearing his cross, went. I want to preach for just a little while on that thought. He went. I want to say, number one, he went willingly. The cross there weighed heavy on the Lord's back that day. The weight of all of that cross was bearing heavy on his body. But the reproach of our sin laid heavy on his heart. He here made no protest. He was condemned to die, and he accepted the judgment as it was his very own. He was despised and rejected of men. And the man of sorrows was acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. He bore our griefs, church. He willingly carried our sorrows and our sins. The cross that he bore had our shame upon it, but he took it willfully. He took it willingly. There was no protest, no hesitation. He set forth his eyes toward Calvary's hill and took it. Verse 10, John tells us that Pilate said unto him, "Speakest thou not unto me?" He said, "Knowest not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee?" And the Bible says, Jesus answered, "Thou couldest have no power at all." I'm going to tell you what he was telling Pilate, was saying, "I'm here willfully. I'm here on my own free will." I'm going to tell you, he went willfully. I don't know how that makes you feel this morning, but it brings tears to my eyes and heaviness to my heart to know that he went willingly. Peter said before the foundation of the world, he knew his son would die on that hill. Before God ever planted the first tree and pushed up Mount Calvary's hill, he knew that he would die there. The Bible says, "And one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck off the servant of the high priest's ear." But then, of course, Jesus said, he said, "Put it up again, the sword, into this place. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels?" He was telling Peter, "I'm here willingly." Amen. I like what A.C. Dixon said. He said, "God does not love us because Jesus died, but rather Jesus died because God loves us." He went and he went willingly, buried his cross because of his love. There's no song that can completely describe God's love for us. No sermon that can be delivered that can describe for us the love that God has. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He, bearing his cross, went willingly. We also see in verse 17, John tells us that he went to the place of the skull. Golgotha The steps that took our Lord to that place was where criminals were put. That place of Calvary is where lepers were put outside the gate. Transgressors were put outside the gate. The rubbish of life was put outside of the gate. And that prophet Isaiah said it like this. He said he was numbered with the transgressors. I'm going to tell you, he went to not only willingly bearing his cross, but he went without the gate so that you and I could have a representation. He was numbered with the transgressors. He wants to associate with the likes of me. I have preached at some meetings similar to this, not as good. But similar like this, and they get up and you got all the politics and the theatrics, and we've been around, and I'm not looking for a spot. I don't want one. I'm too tired. Tried that already. I'm not looking to be the best preacher or the favoritest preacher looking for a meeting. I've got enough to wear me out and keep me broke. But I'm going to tell you, we've been in enough of these places where we know all about it. But I preached at this one, and I could tell everybody in there didn't know who I was, and I'm not sure why the preacher called me. I was hoping he wouldn't. But I remember getting my lunch plate. My wife wasn't with me, and I sat down. And the fellow said, looked over at me and said, who are you? I said, well, my name's Jeff. He said, oh, what church do you go to? I told him what church I went to. He said, well, who's your preacher? I told him who my preacher was. I could tell right away he had no idea who I was, who my preacher was, or where I was from. But I told him everything I knew. He said, well, who's your dad? I said, well, my daddy's not a preacher. He's a drunkard. He got saved, died, went to heaven. I said, you don't know my daddy. He took his lunch plate, got up, and moved over to someplace else. Sat there all by myself till I realized that he went outside the gate to be associated with me. He didn't have to sit by me and eat his hamburger. I've got someone sitting by me who went outside the gate and paid my sin debt. I'm going to tell you to think this morning that God would want to associate with the likes of us. But there he is outside the gate, hanging between two thieves. Two thieves, the darling Prince of Glory, hanging between two thieves. I'm going to tell you this morning, you may not have no pedigree. You may not have a lot of friends. But I'm going to tell you, you got one who stepped outside where the rubbish of this world is cast out. And he is the God of glory. Golgotha, I've read where they said back in those days when they said Golgotha, it was phrased where the good for nothings are. Where the good for nothings are. To think that God went, clothed himself in flesh to be associated with the good for nothings. I want to stop and thank God that he went without the gate, come to where I was, and put himself there on the cross. I'm going to tell you this morning, we're blessed. This should affect us, no doubt, to the deepest part of our beings. The depths of that and the breadth of that, we couldn't preach it enough to know that he went outside the gate. He never tasted a lie. Never knew what it was to lie, but that day he tasted your lies. He never knew what it was to covet, but that day he coveted our covetousness. He was made to be sin for us who knew no sin. He went outside the gate, bearing our sins, and so that you and I could be made the righteousness of God. There's no greater story. There's no touching picture than the picture of him going outside the gate. He went without the gate. I'm glad to report to you he regards the good for nothings. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 6, it says, who being in the form of God, and thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The King of Glory left the sparkling diadems of heaven to be associated with me. He should have been born in that wonderful nursery. He should have been adorned by all of his creation, but instead he let his own creation beat him unrecognizable. His own creation nail him to a cross to be associated with us. He went without the gate willingly. He went without the gate. Or he went bearing his cross willingly. He went without the gate. We find here in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, he says, from that time forth, Jesus began to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. He not only went to bearing his cross willfully, not only went bearing his cross without the gate, but he went bearing his cross to win. Yes, he died. Yes, he placed in a tomb. And yes, it was 3 days. But up from the grave, he arose. All of those steps towards Calvary's Hill, he knew what was going to happen. He understood what was going to take place. He came out of that grave victorious over all of those things. I'm going to tell you, he went to win. You show me a spot where this story hasn't reached, and I'll show you no happy homes. You show me a spot where no one has seen this, and I'll show you there's no hope. But because he came up out of that tomb and now is seated at the right hand of the Father, you and I have hope beyond compare. He went without the gate, bearing that cross to win. I'm going to tell you, Calvary was plan A. Because he don't need plan B. This was the plan from the beginning. No, he wasn't nervous about a thing. He took those stripes like it was his very own. He caught up on that cross just like it was his very own. You say, how come? Because he knew he was coming up out of there to live within you and I. He went bearing his cross to win. Therefore, go into all the world and preach the gospel. I'm glad I got something to say. I'm glad when I leave here, I don't need pews and audiences and music. I can tell an old hardened sinner, and Jesus took the steps for him. He bore the burdens and walked out of the tomb. I'm glad I got something to tell the world. He went, so go. Go, tell it. He went, so I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Just wanted to tell you this morning, he went, and I'm glad he did.